Inshallah, all the fathers and the other attendees, of course, please move forward. And the younger children, inshallah, if we can go to the side prayer hall. We'll have, inshallah, a dua workshop with Mawlana Farhan. SubhanAllah. So all the other attendees, if you can please move forward. Inshallah, this is our final few minutes before iftar. And we have this daily session here after Asr. And the younger boys, inshallah, if you can please go to the side prayer hall. Jazakallah khairan. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وعملا اللهم نور قلوبنا بعلمك واستعمل أبداننا لطاعتك ووفقنا لما تحب وترضى من القول والعمل والفعل والنية والهدى إنك على كل شيء قدير يا الله يا وهاب يا فتاح يا الله يا وهاب يا فتاح يا الله يا وهاب يا فتاح ما بعد. This for those who are joining us first time, this is a book that I'm reading from called The Fathers and Sons of Dioband by Sheikh al-Hadith Mawlana Muhammad Zakariya rahimahumullah, and this has anecdotes, just stories, because this is supposed to be story time between Asr and Maghrib. So we focus on the stories of our recent pious predecessors, our teachers' teachers, alhamdulillah, who have our grand teachers, the type of lifestyle they had, and the success Allah Jalla Jalaluhu gave them. And we're focused on the fact that that success, the criteria of that success was not on the abundance of wealth or abundance of material things, but based on the abundance of personal relationship they have with Allah. So similarly, if any one of us have issues, who doesn't? If anyone wants to solve their problems in life, who doesn't have problems in life? Then we have to also, not just problems in our life, if we want to further the effort of deen, how do we do that? It has to be with our personal ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So today we have election season going on right now, and so a lot of Muslims running for different offices. And they ask, you know, for advice and help and things of that sort. So I always tell them that along with whatever advice that I'll give you and everyone else gives you, one main thing is that if you want to win your campaign, you need to make sure you have your whole, yourself and your Muslim staffers come onto adhkar. Make dhikr goals for your office. And ensure that every single day there's Salat al-Hajjah happening, Salat al-Ishraq happening, there's Awabin happening, there's Tahajjud happening. Yes, there's thousands of Durood Sharif happening. There is various ayats of the Qur'an being recited. There's even Khatm al-Qur'an once a month or whatnot with the dua. There's sadaqah being given. Those are our tools for success. Along with going door to door and canvassing and putting on yard signs and so forth. That's what differentiates a believer from a non-believer. The way we do things, we do what everyone else does. But on top of that, we have this most potent, powerful thing called a'mal. And our own ruhani and our spiritual ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if Allah wills, a person doesn't win the election. But imagine all his staffers, the young Muslim male and female staffers. MashaAllah, they start praying Ishraq and Haja and Tahajjud. And you have Khatm al-Quran. Isn't that a success? That is success. That you have all these group of people, alhamdulillah, they have become much more closer to Allah through this election. I know one brother whose father was running for a very for a high position in this country. So the son was telling me, I watched my dad run for election, and he said the filth and the horrible things that I saw, I never imagined existed like this. The amount of lying, cheating, deception, underhanded stuff. He's not necessarily saying his dad was involved in everything, but naturally, that's part of the business. Now, to stay away clear from that business and to do your work properly is not easy. This is where your personal ruhaniya comes in. When you have ta'alluq with Allah, you'll have people who you know, they have large groups coming and saying, we'll pay you $20 million to come out of the race. Now, how do you say 20 million? And by the way, some of them said cash too, huh? Non-taxable. If you work, one brother told me this. It happened. I'm not talking about hearsay. With him. You do this, you'll receive duffel bags, non-taxable, every single year, huge amounts. The type of horrible corruption that's happening around us is unbelievable. Right? Unbelievable. And the most corrupt people are there, at the top. Most corrupt. So how do you not fall for this? How do you not fall for this type of steps or moves that people make towards you? Batil makes towards you, batil. That is only if you have a strong relationship with Allah. Otherwise, anyone will fall for that. So this is the secret sauce of our ulama, its efforts. How did they become successful? It's because they had this amazing ta'alluq with Allah and their ruhaniyah, because of which no one could buy them, no one could sell them. And their efforts spread across the entire globe. So now we are reading, we've been reading a section of zakat, of how the zakat used to be given, right? Of our ulama. And the opening section of it is that majority of them, zakat was never obligatory on them in the first place, their whole life. Zakat was never. How come? Because they gave sadaqah the whole year so much that they were never people upon whom zakat is fard. That's what all the stories are about. That they had resources of money, but all that money was always given, that zakat never became obligatory upon them. So yesterday we read Maulana Abdul Rahim Raipuri's stories. Today we're going to be reading, inshallah, Maulana Abdul Qadir Raipuri's, his student's story. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. It is written that when Maulana Abdul Qadir Raipuri, still a fresh graduate from the madrasa, first arrived in Raipur to his Sheikh's khanqa, yani Maulana Abdul Rahim Raipuri's khanqa. What is khanqa? Khanqa, I explained it a few days ago, is what we call a zawiya, or a house or a place dedicated to spiritual rectification for dhikr, riyadat, yani various spiritual exercises. Like you have masjid, in the masjid you can have circles of knowledge and full ilm, but you can also have a madrasa that's run separately in a building, or madrasa running inside of a masjid. So similarly, like madrasa focuses on the ulum zahir, the external sciences, a khanqah or zawiya is where you focus on the ulum al-batin, the sciences of the esoteric internal sciences, the sciences related to the spiritual rectification of the heart. And there you have an experienced hadith teacher, tafsir teacher, and nahu, an Arabic sarf teacher. Similarly, you have to have an experienced sheikh who's a master doctor of the soul and can assist his students who come for their spiritual rectification in their spiritual hospital. That is called khanqah. So we don't even, with this word, I'm explaining it because it's out of sight, out of mind, it's out of our vocabulary. And no one even thinks that this is even necessary. Everyone's talking about internships and fellowships and post-grad. But who's talking about, I need to go to a khanqah. I need to go humble myself in front of a sheikh, in front of a murabbi, and work on my rectification. That's not even the discussion. No, how many dads are saying, beta, my dear daughter, is my dear son, you're 17, 18, but subhanAllah, I need to focus on your islah. Islahul batin. Islah of the inside. We need to have ta'alluq with someone who is a spiritual doctor. One small little spot comes on the forehead, our moms and dads get so worried. Chalo, chalo, let's go to ER, let's go to urgent care, let's call this specialist, call that specialist, go to University of Chicago, let's go to Mayo Clinic. But the boy and the girl, their soul is dying. It's like 90% dead, 10% alive. Still, parents today are completely aloof. That subhanAllah, this boy and boy and girl, they don't need vacation, they don't need a new car. They need someone to revive their dead soul. That's what they need. So this needs to be constantly spoken about in our homes. The importance of islahul batin, the importance of spiritual rectification, the importance of connecting ourselves with mashayikh and mentors whose focus is this. Alhamdulillah, they are still alive. They're dying. Every day someone passes away and we get the news on some group or the other. A senior scholar in Malaysia died. A senior scholar in Africa died. A senior scholar in Southeast Asia passed away. Essay, non-stop. Even Ramadan, non-stop we're receiving the news. So as long as, alhamdulillah, we have some of them alive around us, we need to make sure we make this our focus. That I need to connect myself with those ulama who focus on these sciences. In the meantime, where do I start? Read. Reading books like this, and reading the books similar to this in which you read the stories of the biographies of our Salaf, as well as their lectures, as well as their letters, This is the second best thing to being in front of them in real life. If you sit and read their works, it's as though you're sitting in their company. So we can all do this. Right now, sitting in Chicago or wherever we are, we can definitely find books and start reading it. And say, Ya Allah, I am reading someone who passed away 100 years ago, his books. Allow me to benefit from his works as though I am benefiting in his presence. Because who is the one who is going to actually give the tarbiyah? Who is it? Allah. Allah is the murabbi haqiqi. The only one who actually is going to make her tarbiyah, and my tarbiyah is Allah. So you say, Ya Allah, you're capable of giving me tarbiyah through this. He's not here right now. He passed away. These people passed away. But I'm going to read their stories, and Ya Allah, allow my heart to change through the barakah of what I read. So Mawlana Abdul Qadir Raipuri, after graduating, he went to the Raipur to attend his Sheikh's Khanqah. Why? Because in the past, when you used to graduate, you don't go start serving in the community immediately. After you start graduating, studying 10, 12, 11 years, you would go to a Sheikh to go work on your internal stuff. You know, when you do, imagine you layering beautiful granite, beautiful marble, you're cutting and putting in some nice design, right? In the process of that, imagine how much dust flies, how much dirt comes in the process of cutting, cleaning, and installing, polishing, all that stuff. It's part of the process. It's part of the process that is going to be a lot of dirt, a lot of dust. Similarly, when a person goes to madrasa and seeks ilm and studies Quran, Sunnah, Hadith, Fiqh, although it's very beautiful, but in the process, you'll get a lot of dust as well. In the process, you'll find that your soul is getting dirty. With what? With arrogance. With being self-conceited. With becoming, taking too lightly what you're studying. Becoming too accustomed to it. And the list goes on. These are spiritual diseases that will happen when a person seeks knowledge. When a person doesn't seek knowledge, he's got his own separate huge line of spiritual diseases, which are much more. But understand that when you're studying ilm also, those spiritual diseases, you cannot be free from them. They're going to come. Even the most beautiful rose is going to have thorns around it. You're going to have to get rid of the thorns if you want to and enjoy that rose. Similarly, to benefit from the ilm that we're gaining, the knowledge we're gaining, we have to work on these spiritual diseases. Does it make sense? So this is why in the past, ulama would graduate from the madrasa and then go to the khanqah, to the zawiya, to the abode of spiritual rectification. Today, we don't have that system. And we're suffering from that. And so now it's important that the madrasas itself, Mufti Taqi Uthmani, Allahumma barak, hafidhahullah, may Allah give barakah in his life, may Allah lengthen his life, may Allah protect his life, may Allah protect his health, may Allah protect his whole family, may Allah allow the whole ummah to benefit from his ilm, from his ruhaniya, from his foresight, Allahumma ameen. I heard his bayan from the Khatm al-Bukhari this past year. How long ago was that? January? Yani probably mid-January, when the Dora Hadith was graduating, the madrasa was closing before exams. Usually all the madrasas close 20 days before Ramadan starts. So in the graduation ceremony, he spoke, and I didn't hear the whole thing. Someone shared with me an 8-minute clip from the bayan, and I shared it with my students and others, colleagues. The sad part is, in 9 minutes, he must have said it 4 dafa. Agle saal mulaqat hogi ya na hogi. Agle saal mulaqat hogi ya na hogi. Aainda hamari mulaqat hogi ya na hogi. Ye baat zarur sunne. Kept on saying this, which scared me. Allahu Akbar. That I don't know if I'm going to meet you again or not. I don't know if I'm going to see you next year or not. I don't know if we're going to ever see each other again. But just hold on to what I've got to say. And in that advice that I have here on my phone somewhere, he says that the biggest problem right now in the entire ummah that we're facing is the lack of spiritual rectification. And this issue is plaguing in our madrasas as well. Alim course, hifz class, boys, girls, everything. And he said, we have to understand that in this day and age, the emphasis that we need to give on spiritual rectification is more than anything else. The gist of it, what he's saying. And that it cannot be separated from your studies. Your islah and your spiritual rectification has to be part of your daily studies. So I was very happy to hear this, because this is something which we've been trying to do here in this madrasa for a long time, in this masjid as well. That whoever comes here should walk away inspired with his head screwed on right, understanding that I need to work on myself in my relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I cannot just attend talks. I cannot just attend salah. I cannot just volunteer, etc., etc. I have to make a concentrated effort on improving myself. Sometimes I get asked by colleagues in the school and outside of the school, brother, this is a madrasa. Should we focus on tarbiyah or should we focus on ta'lim? I get this question, unfortunately, asked too many times. And I said, what is the use of ta'lim without tarbiyah? What is this supposed to mean? Someone's bringing you steak or bringing you, you know, I don't know, heavy food, nihari or patanik, all that, whatever, something heavy. And then someone says, bhai, aapko sirf khana chahiye ya pani bhi chahiye? Ye dono mein se ek, ya to pani lo ya khana. Where did you get this dichotomy from? I'm going to give you food or I'm going to give you water? What is this supposed to mean? I need water with my food. I need something to drink with my food. Before, after, during, whatever it is. Why are you separating? Why are you saying you have to choose one or the other? And this is the example of ilm and tazkiyah. That you cannot say, I need this or that. Along with seeking knowledge, we have to be focusing on what else? Ajay, Zahid, aap ki seat khali hogi. Okay? We have to be working on tazkiyah. So if a student, if your son, because mashallah many dads of the sons are doing hifz are here, maybe listening online, moms, dads, and ourselves as students of knowledge, if you're listening to this somewhere. If alhamdulillah getting 85% and 90% in your tafsir class is important for you, and if your son and daughter passing his sabak para amukhta, and Arabic class is important for you, if not more, but chalo, you don't want to do more. Equally important should be is the quality of his salah. Equally important should be the amount of time he does dua. Equally important would be how punctual he is or she is in the dhikr. When leaving the home, entering the home, using the bathroom, dhikr during the wudu, dhikr when after fajr, dhikr after isha. Because what are we here to make for? Hame acha musalman banana hai. We want people to become a good Muslim. And a good Muslim cannot be the one who neglects sunnah and the one who neglects a'mal. Cannot be a good Muslim. So we are in this frenzy of let's go to the next year. Let's move on to upgrade to the next program. And let's finish our hifz and let's do qira'at and let's get ijazah and all these type of things. And in the process of that, we're missing the maghz. We're missing the real deal, which is what is our relationship, what is my son and daughter or my own relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which becomes manifested in how I speak to him in seclusion and how I perform my salah when no one's looking, and what is the quality of my dhikr and what's the quality of my dua. That is what is one of the main telling points of our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So make this a goal. This is not something for us to say it's either this or that. Say hame dono karna, we need to do both. We need to focus on your education, but simultaneously we have to be focused on your self-rectification as well. When he arrived at the Khanqah, he received one roti daily. And even that was one half dry, half baked, and the other half fully baked but without any curry. He received one roti daily. Even that was one of half dry, half baked, and the other half fully baked. Sometimes it would be like this, sometimes it would be like that. And no salam, no curry. Sometimes he said, I would wash down the roti with buttermilk. But only when someone gifted it from any of the nearby villages. Like lassi. If someone gifted it from the nearby villages, I'd use that to push down the dry bread. Or bread down my throat. Otherwise, nothing. I would wash it down with water. Dekho khud misali, main aapko jo misal diya right here, food and drink, right? You have to wash it down. You cannot, the roti is going to get stuck here. Similarly, the ilm will get stuck right here, above your throat, maximum till your throat. It's not going to go down to the heart. What's going to push down that ilm into your heart, into the rest of your body? Tazkiyatun nafs, islahul batin, right? Tarbiyah. That's what pushes down that ilm. He narrates, the brothers from UP, Uttar Pradesh, would portion out their roti, one half for the day and the other half for the night. He said, I, the Punjabi, would eat the whole roti all in one go and the other time would only say Allah, Allah. The UP people from one state, they would split the roti in half. Eat half in the morning, half in the evening. He said, I used to end up eating all of it in the morning and say, chalo, khair Allah, khair salah. In the evening, we'll just do dhikr. I don't know what you're going to do. How am I going to keep half of a roti till the night? He relieved his hunger by looking out for edible plants and bushes in the nearby jungle and subsisting on a variety of different bushes and plants. He's a Molana, great scholar, Mawlana Abdul Qadir, but this is what is happening. He heated up the hardened molasses he found in the kitchen until it became syrup, and mixed it with tea grounds he collected from the bottom of the guest teacup. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Kaisa, kisne aisa faqa dekha hai bhai? Teacup, you know teacup? It has a loose leaf, black tea. He said any guest would leave it, he would go collect the black used tea leaves, ground tea leaves from the bottom of the people's chai cups. And then he would take some hardened molasses he would find in the kitchen and warm it up until it becomes syrup. Take syrup and take used tea leaves and eat it with his roti. At the dump, garbage dump, he found an old quilt trashed by its owner. Hazrat scavenged it, washed it, and then double folded it and laid it out near the shanty where Hafiz Yusuf Ali rahimullah tied his horse. That was to be his bedding and his musalla for the next 14 years. 14 years he performed salah and he laid out on this quilt that he found on a garbage dump, which he obviously washed and folded and used. There was only one lantern in the khanqah. One lantern, no lights besides that. And the scorpions, centipedes, and snakes infested the khanqah from the nearby jungle. Hazrat says, I kept a broken bamboo stick near the bed. You know his bed. It's that same cloth, that same quilt. And sometimes struck it against the ground to scare the scorpions and the snakes away. This is what you call, the giant. This is what you call the wrestler. This is what you call the ultimate, absolutely fearless person. How many of us can do something like that? Just keep a stick and to shoo away the scorpions and the snakes. How do you get this taqat? How do you get the ability to eat this type of food and live off of this? This is called ruhani taqat. This is called spiritual nourishment. When your spirituality is so strong, you literally can live off of stuff like this. When I traveled to India in August, I would tell these extremely poor individuals in the villages, I said, honestly, you are more lucky in some sense than we are. You are stronger than we are. I said, we came from America, we're used to luxury. We are doing ha 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 without fan and without AC. We can't handle it. We're sweating. We can't handle it. We're getting sores. We're getting blisters due to heat. We can't handle this bitter water. We can't. We spit it out. We try to do madmada. Like, forget it. Madmada is just sunnah. Let's just do the farz. So gargle water is sunnah in the Hanafi madhab. So let's just wash our hands and feet because this is just too bitter. Shower, you can't take shower every day. Delay it. Who's going to be able to handle this type of shower? Go and get a bucket and go take a shower like this. And I was telling these brothers, I said, you all, subhanAllah, you live with so much difficulty. If you were to come to our city, in our country, it would not take you long. It within half an hour, within 10 minutes, you'd get adjusted to taking a shower in our homes and using the bathroom in our homes. Yeah? And enjoying the masjid salah here. You don't even need time to adjust. But for us, we have been, unfortunately, so accustomed to luxury that for us is becoming very hard. So ye cheeze, yani who is the strong person is the question. He relieved his hunger. We said how he's relieved his hunger. There was only one lantern. Okay, next. There are many stories of Hazrat in his biography. Another story is says it was winter time with no blanket or duvet to keep me warm. In the evening, I sat from Maghrib to Isha near the place where the wudu water was warmed up and completed my du'as there. He's sitting by the fire in which wudu water was made warm for the brothers who are doing i'tikaf or those who are coming to do pray salah, because it'd be too freezing cold to make wudu. Have you ever done freezing cold wudu with water in a freezing cold place? That's where you say it. That happened. A few years ago, our water heater broke down in i'tikaf. People had to do wuzu, one fajr. And so many people said, brother, can we do tayammum? Too cold. Inside the building here. And the heater was working, but the water heater broke. The water was so cold. It was very, very cold, I know. But yani, subhanAllah, one day's wudu, that happened 4 years ago, 5 years ago. We're still remembering it today. Right? There are people who would have to do this every day. So he said, that's why they used to warm this up, the water. He said, I used to go sit there by the firewood that's warming up the wudu water to do my zikr, because I have no blanket, nothing. After Isha, I closed the doors of the masjid and rolled up in the straw mats. Chatayo mein, later. Right? The straw mat, they don't have carpets, they have straw mats. And they're all usually all worn out. They don't really do a good job of insulation, but it's better than nothing. He said, I closed the doors of the masjid and sleep in the straw mat, but my head remained exposed to the chilly air. I stayed rolled up in the mats for some time and then unrolled myself and started doing zikr. I spent the whole night keeping myself warm with a chant of zikr. Allah, Allah, la ilaha illallah. Garmi hai. Allah ke naam mein. Right? In taking Allah's name, it gives you warmth. You know that? One of my friends from madrasa days, he used to do zikr. He was not a scholar, he was a madrasa student. And he used to do la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, like this. And I used to hear him before tahajjud, he'd be making the dhikr. And then he would say, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the 10th time. I asked him, why you do this? He was senior to me. I said, what is this? He said, when I start doing la ilaha illallah, and the way he used to make niyyah, he said, I make niyyah la. La is a sword. Sword, right? You're breaking the idols in the heart. He said, I think of each continent of the world, and I imagine the sword of la ilaha is going across it, and all batil is being cut, illallah, and the nur of Allah Azza wa Jalla is descending on that continent. He said, this is with that focus, he's doing dhikr. He said, as I do the dhikr, I start sweating, my body heat goes up, so much so that the most I can do la ilaha illallah is 9 times. The 10th time, I have to say Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to calm me and to cool me, because I cannot handle la ilaha illallah more than that. This is a brother who is a few years senior to me in madrasa, I'm telling you. This is his own dhikr. When we start doing dhikr properly, we'll realize that dhikr has warmth that you cannot imagine. We have to do it properly, but to get that. So he got out of his straw mat, and what did he do? He just started doing dhikr. Whole night. The winter season passed by in this manner, but I never complained of my situation to anyone, nor did anyone find out. He also said, the first winter passed in this manner, but hereafter I received a new blanket every winter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we saw that in previous stories too. Allah jalla jalaluhu, He tests you, and when you handle your test properly, He opens up the doors of blessing. The key thing is Allah tests us in both times. Allah tests us initially with sabr, and then He tests us after that with shukr. So when He doesn't give you, you're being tested through sabr. And when He gives you, you're also being tested, but that's through shukr. Shaykh Zakaria continues to write, all of my teachers showed me lots of affection and love, but unfortunately I still never changed for the better. He's speaking about himself. If Mawla Abdul Qadir ever received a high quality blanket, he would mail it to me straight away as a gift. But this lowly one who never got into the habit of wearing nice new clothes, as it has already been squashed under my father's shoes, I have already narrated this in Abiti, would carefully wrap up the comforter in a canvas and save it for my daughter's bridal gift whenever they get married. He's going to give a comforter. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. All of my daughter's bridal comforters came from Hazrat Abdul Qadir Apuri. He often gave them to me when I came to visit him. And if I ever insisted, he gifted to his attendants and helpers. He would say, do not refuse when I give to you. I give it by order, and then I could say no more. Don't argue back with me, just take it. And he said, I'll just take it. He says, I never got a habit, Hazrat Sheikh says, I never got a habit of wearing new clothes. Let's see what he's talking about. Footnote number 98. Sheikh al-Hadith is referring to an incident from his childhood when his father beat him on the head with a shoe. The reason... He was flaunting a flashy new garment his mother had put on him when his father appeared. The everlasting effect of this beating was that Shaykh al-Hadith developed a lifelong aversion to new clothes and remained ever grateful to his father for it. You know, that's why there's a book called Badon Ka Bachpan. Badon Ka Bachpan. The childhood of the seniors. You don't become like this. This book right here, we're reading the end of their life. They became like this because their moms and dads raised them in a very different manner than the way we have raised and the way we're raising our children. These stories can still come true, but we have to raise our children in that manner, which is take out the muhabbat of the dunya. Take out the muhabbat of the dunya. Yes, that is the end of that story. Mawlana Abdul Qadir Raipuri. The next one is Mawlana Hussein Ahmad Madani in this section. That's the last one in this section. Inshallah, Allah willing, we'll cover this tomorrow. May Allah inspire us from what we heard, what I shared. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove the desire for materialism from our heart and the heart of our spouses. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all yaqeen on the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, we'll start our dua over here. If the brothers can go downstairs, inshallah, for the iftar and dua.